And coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, as I always say, it's the Thursday edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside. Today is February 13th. And there's a strike going on up at the University of California. And that's going to be what we're mainly focusing on, as well as checking in on the folks downtown who are on the streets at the various encampments here and there. There's a new encampment formed along the edge of the Ross Camp fence right next to the freeway, which I haven't yet had a chance to visit, but it's there. Anyway, stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
Let's begin with, last Sunday. Is that what we're thinking? I think it is. It's the 9th. Yep, that was Sunday. Here we are at the Food Not Bombs meal in front of the post office, which is where I often show up with my digital recorder. And the encampment has retained itself. In fact, I think it's grown since then. But here's how it was about 4 or 5 days ago.
Windy, weathered, still surviving post office encampment, which was threatened with eviction a few days ago. Before we do,
let me give you a tour.
I will, but let me just ask this individual here.
Hi, no, I'm just visiting.
Oh, welcome. You look like someone who I spoke to a few days ago.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Keep visiting.
All right.
Thanks. What's your name?
Sweeper.
Thanks, Sweeper.
And you're going to hear a pretty windy background because it was mighty windy. In fact, that day, the wind, or the day before, no, it was that day, the wind blew out the power at the area where I was making the show or trying to broadcast or netcast the show and couldn't be heard. But you can hear it, by the way, in case you missed it and you want to. If you go online to the HuffSantaCruz.org website, it's under Latest and Lost Shows in all its glory. And there's lots of interesting stuff there. So I encourage folks to check that site out.
All right. I want the tour, Dreamcatcher.
No. I got a new name.
Hit it.
Sweeper 2.
All right, Sweeper 2. Sweeper or
yeah.
Sweeper?
You know, sanitation engineering.
Uh-huh.
Sanitation engineering. Yeah, I got a couple of three good dump truck drivers. Oh, did I say dump truck? I meant sanitation trucks.
There you are. That's a little better.
Sanitation.
February 9th, it's about 10 to 3.
They're hybrids, even. Sanitation trucks.
I'll accept that.
Yeah, very quiet lately. I'm thanking whoever is working on that. And I want to thank a lot of people, actually, without being sarcastic. The officers that came down for the HERO program, very, very, very cool. You know, you guys will learn how to finesse that a little better. But it got through to me. I went down immediately, signed up for a bed at the armory.
How's that going?
I got a little note from Billy. It says, if there's any questions about Mr. Orr's permanent ban of banishment from our program, please contact me. Sorry, the wind's blowing me over.
You can hold on to me there.
Yeah, well, thank you. I got the note. I saved the note, and I told everybody else to get a note, whatever she said. Just get a note. I got a rejection notice. That was my note to clear me for being able to hang out here appropriately. Well, not everybody's appropriate, and I'm cleaning it up right now for Food Not Bombs. That's what I'm doing right now at this time.
How many people have left here as a consequence of the armory vacancies?
None.
Really?
We've all applied.
So it's interesting. So you've applied, but you haven't necessarily been accepted.
We're permanently banned.
And this, of course, followed, you may remember if you heard the last program or the last couple of programs, threats and blandishments and brandishments and whatever from kind of combination of social service providers and police and rangers, that the folks at the post office were going to have their tents taken away if they didn't get up to the armory. Because they were being offered space. There was 14 vacancies up there, and they better go use them. But, of course, once they applied, they were told they'd been permanently banned, which I really haven't researched in detail. I suppose I should really be interviewing the people up at the Armory or the Association of Faith Communities or whoever's doing that process to learn exactly what kinds of menacing behavior these folks have had that result in their being told they could never come back. Well, for example, Dreamcatcher says he's permanently banned. It's an example of how unrealistic, impractical, and simply discriminatory and futile the current shelter policies are, given their very limited space, even that they can't use because they have such either unrealistic standards or a very unresponsive staff, or a staff that's very punitive towards homeless people. In any case, here's more.
Wow. So the reason for your being banned was?
Public disturbance.
What was your public disturbance? In their mind?
Yeah.
Or in fact, as the case may be.
I asked them if I was disturbing their peace if I was disturbing their peace right now. They were sitting behind the table in the library, Billy and her, whatever, her witness. Well, I said, if you give me some equal airtime here, Billy, and without interrupting me, I will let you know how I felt from the very beginning with you from San Lorenzo Park.
And when she replied, she replied, who's Billy?
Billy is the woman with the freckles that is the head honcho for the Tent City and the movement up to the Armory, because it's all Salvation Army based.
Have you actually been inside there?
The Armory?
Recently with the Tent City.
Not recently, no, but I've been there a couple years ago.
I'm just wondering how it's going. Have you had any conversations with people who have?
Yes, it's like a prison camp. You can't do anything. It's really restrictive. It's very uncomfortable. They say, as far as the spirit goes, everybody's trying to get away with whatever they got to do, and they're going to get away with it. And it's why make the rules when you can't enforce them in the first place? Make a smoking area and let them smoke. The other stuff you'll never see in the first place. They shoot up in the bathroom. If they don't drop all out, then you don't know. I mean, if someone can get high appropriately, I guess so. But if you don't do it in the open, it's got to remain kid-friendly. That means out of sight. And your behavior is no excuse. Being high is no excuse at all. And I have now been, I got a promotion, yes. There's agreement. So,
promotion?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well,
or have you already?
Here's one piece of it.
You're carrying a protective device.
I have to pull it, just have to wear it.
I go, peanut butter knife?
There's only one of these.
Only one Dreamcatcher, or Sweeper 2, if you will.
Well, there it is. So there's only one Sweeper 2, because Sweeper 1's already there. And he did. He was a good sweeper. He cleaned up parking places around here and did the kind of the handiwork for,
Do you have a tent here?
No, I'm the only one that doesn't have a tent, as a matter of fact.
So what do you do at night? Just bundle up?
Well, if it's not raining, I'm okay. I work at night anyway.
You won't get blown away tonight by this wind?
I am the wind.
You are the wind?
Well, at least I know its phone number. I know its phone number.
Who's that? The wind's phone number.
Yes.
And we've been talking with?
Dreamcatcher, thank you all for your help. I'm doing very well in this position. Thanks for the support. Cooper, we call it the Cooperation. Down here, the entourage from Loud Nelson has arrived over here, and one by one. We are making good boys out of none of them. We're just sending them away, not no return checks. Because look at this fucking mess. That's Chief and Rick and fucking Scott.
And Dreamcatcher is referring to some relatively large piles of debris at the end of the line of tents as you walk toward the bridge from the post office. But I think, according to Cooper, that had changed within a couple of days. But, well, here's more.
You think that's a bit too cluttered for this area?
Yes, that is inappropriate, non-kid-friendly behavior.
You're referring to the encampment at
the mess that's right next to my camp that kept me awake all night.
And also, period. Somewhat loud at night.
Yeah, loud.
Thank you, then. So I'm talking with
Robert.
And Robert, last we spoke, it was at the Washington Street encampment, if you will, before they evicted everybody, and I presume they took your stuff too.
Yes, they did. I still haven't got it back yet.
Which items are you missing now?
I'm missing my sleeping bag, my radio, my letters, and one more thing I can't remember. Four things.
Have you requested these items, or did they tell you, don't even bother to come if you don't have a case number?
No, they said they had them at the police department, and the gal that they took her stuff that I was with,
Cooper?
She got her stuff back, so my stuff should be there too, hopefully.
You're hoping to get it maybe next Tuesday?
Yeah, exactly.
From 11 to 3, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Their posted hours on
Tuesday, yeah.
Get it back. You say that you've been to the shelters before and they are less than congenial?
Well, they're run like prisons is the problem. And nobody wants to be in a prison.
How are they like prisons? Give me some idea.
Well, you can't use the bathroom unless you have an ID, which to me doesn't make any sense. A bathroom's a bathroom for everybody to use. And but if you go to the shelter and you ask to use the bathroom, they tell you you can't use it.
Now, which shelter did you go to where they told you this?
The one on Ameline Street.
Laurel Street?
Laurel Street, yeah.
And how many times did you use that?
What's that?
The shelter on Laurel Street.
Oh, I haven't. I just left after that, and they said you couldn't use the restroom.
Are you talking about the Loudon Nelson Community Center, or are you talking about the Laurel Street shelter?
No, I'm talking about the Laurel Street shelter.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you can't use the bathrooms at the Loudon Nelson Center either. They got them locked up all the time. And they say that you can only use them 15 minutes before you're in a program, and 15 minutes after the program that you're in. But if you have to take a dump an hour later, you can't use it.
And it's a little unclear to me whether, I don't know, Robert walked in during a period of time when he wasn't being sheltered there and asked to use the bathroom and was refused, or whether he wanted to come in while he was actually using the shelter and was told he could not unless he showed an ID, which sounds very bizarre. I've not heard that before, and I've not heard that complaint before, so I'm still kind of working with that one, trying to get to the bottom of it.
So you end up having to go out on the street.
Have you ever used the police station bathrooms that they say you can go use?
No, I haven't.
And the reason that you've avoided that is?
Because they're not open to the public.
Have you ever tried to use them?
No.
Because that's what they'll tell you, is that they're open during business hours to the public unless they're, quote, training officers.
Right.
I'm not sure if they're training them in, I don't know, being regular constipation problems, or I'm not sure.
Right. Who knows?
So now you've been down here at the post office encampment for about a week now?
Yeah, about a week, yeah.
How do you like it?
I like it. It's very comfortable. It's a wide street, so they can't say we're blocking wheelchairs. Because three wheelchairs can go through here at a time. And the people are very neat to be around that are down here. Most of them are quiet. They don't create a problem. But there are people that come over and try to start problems at times at night, you know.
How is the general public treating you?
Oh, the general public is no problem. They're great. Yeah.
And which tent is yours?
This one right here.
Pointing to this kind of light blue tent between the orange one and the other blue tent.
Yeah, this Russell's and Coop's tent over there. And I forgot who tent that is over there.
Have many people, have you been told you have to leave because there's a space in the armory that you should take? Or?
Well, they say they want us to go up to the armory, but, you know, the problem with the armory is you have to get a car or something to get up there, number one. And if you don't have transportation to get there, you're screwed, which I have no transportation right now.
You do have a shuttle, they say, every hour, but... you know, it is different here. Here you have more freedom of movement coming and going.
What's nice about here is you have total freedom of yourself, and nobody bothers you. And most people, in other words, a lot of people today are always looking for government help or whatever, and I'm just the opposite. I don't want government help. I've been on my own my entire life, and I've taken care of myself my entire life, so I don't want assistance from government agencies. But most of young kids today, that's all they want. They want a handout. But thank you very much. But, you know, I mean, I've been taking care of myself for 85 years. I don't have that many more years left. You know, probably 10, if that. But I'll take care of myself until I die. No problem.
How's your health?
My health's excellent.
You seem okay.
Yeah, I'm in good shape. I'm blind. Other than that, my legs work good.
Wind won't blow you away?
No. Almost died to your day.
It
has become a little difficult to hear, of course, but hang in there.
But I like it out here because you have the freedom to, like, for instance, I go across the street there, get coffee in the morning for everybody, and then from there I go down the street here to Zachary's, which I just did, and got my lunch and dinner. Right? Got me a sandwich for my lunch.
How do local merchants treat you?
Oh, local merchants are fine. No problem at all.
Anything you want to pass on otherwise that we haven't talked about?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robert, this should be on the net if the power comes back on Thursday. So
okay.
I'll give you my card in case you want to ask anybody what it says. It's,
okay.
Yeah. You take care.
Appreciate that.
We've been talking with?
Okay.
Your name again is?
Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
If the city wants to resolve the problem of people being homeless on the streets, why don't they go to the motels and ask each motel for 5 rooms and give them a discount on their taxes, because their taxes are extremely high?
Certainly it's a good idea, and it's probably the same reason that they destroy homeless encampments like Camp Phoenix and Bras Camp, because they don't want homeless people to regard this as a comfortable place to be. They're trying to make sure that it's a playground for the well to do, or, quote, those who can afford it.
The problem is the problem is not going to go away. So
of course not. But
you have to deal with it, because
we'll just sweep you guys out of sight. That's
no,
all we
but
do.
Most people are one paycheck away from being homeless today.
Then they can move to Fresno.
No, they're not going to. They're going to stay in Santa Cruz because of the weather.
Not if our police have anything to say about it.
Well, I don't think they're going to have anything to say about it.
They got the guns, they got the tasers, they got the batons,
but
they got the $30 million budget.
But the signs around Santa Cruz now are, if you see a cop, kill it.
If you see a cop?
If you see a cop, kill it.
I've heard that one.
Around Santa Cruz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that sign.
Two of them so far. Yeah, they're out there.
People are getting a bit pissed at the police.
No, they're not getting... We're on the verge of anarchy, is what it is. People are tired of law enforcement. I mean, totally, because they've gone way past what they're supposed to be doing, and they know it. But it's only when you eliminate one or two of them that the problem gets resolved, and that's what's going to happen. I'm not going to do it, but I know somebody's going to do it.
Robin, do you volunteer, perhaps? He shakes his head. He's zipping his lips. And again, we're talking with that soothsayer of old.
Robert.
Thanks, Robert. I'm at the tent of Cooper, who's hiding from the wind inside her tent. And here she is. Hello, Cooper.
Good afternoon, Robert.
Now, the last time we spoke, I think it was at the town clock, or maybe it was at some, you know, after picking up your property at the police station. But I think it was later than that. We were told by Dread Eye, for example, that people have been told there's space at the armory. If you don't move your tent up there, we're going to pick up your tent and take it away, or something to that effect. Did you get this message at one point?
Yeah, at one point we did have officers come around and say that because of the fact that there were beds available, that we would more or less be forced to go there or else lose our belongings.
So, you stayed, and I guess Dread Eye took off, right?
Dread Eye never stayed here.
One whose tent was right down the way, who said he was moving. I thought it was, we're talking about William Randolph, so forth and so on, the third, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't here, you say?
Randolph, Vaden Tully the third. No, he actually has a vehicle. So he's homeless, but he sleeps in his vehicle.
Right. Did he have a tent here for a while?
No. Huh. He hangs out inside our tent.
Because I saw him at one of these other tents, maybe he was visiting. Has anybody moved from here because of these either threats or offers?
No, actually, two, hang on, wait till he's done. Two individuals from our camp actually went to the library, as they were told by police, to go and sign up to for the armory. And both of our people were told that they had already been kicked out of the armory and out of the program, and they are not allowed to return. So they came back with a rejection paper.
Sad or happy?
Just came back with a rejection paper, like, well, okay, you know, next right thing. So they stayed. So I guess God wants us to stay.
Do you think that the police actually knew this to start with or didn't care and just said, oh, they got empty beds up there, therefore we can do what we want, or at least we can threaten people to do what we want? Or do you think that they actually were ignorant of this fact?
I don't think that they're, I don't think they really know what's going on, like, with the people and with the conditions at the armory. And it's much like a concentration camp. And they loop all the homeless together, and saying that this kind of a situation is beneficial for all these different people, and it's not. So I think it's just lack of education, lack of knowledge of what it's like. And I think they're just following orders.
Following orders! Now, what about events in the last couple days here at the Cooper encampment?
It's been nice. We had Food Not Bombs here yesterday. So that was cool, and I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen for a while, and that was great. And thanking everybody who volunteered, that group of young people, the community core, that volunteered yesterday.
And did they volunteer to do anything relating to people in encampments?
NCCC, and they served, and they were very kind.
Served food, you mean?
Yeah, they served the food, and a lot of donations were made yesterday, and a lot of great Good Samaritans have donated things, and people really do want to help. And, we thank you always continually for the donation of blankets, because in the middle of the night, we have people come through here that you don't see during the day, and they're freezing. And so it's been really nice to be able to hand out blankets.
You've been getting much sleep at night here. I hear sometimes it's difficult to sleep here.
Well, I worked in the emergency room for so many years, and I am a mom of so many years that I can kind of tune it out. It's okay. You know, and for the most part, everybody is doing the very best they can under the situations. I mean, we're in crisis. This is a less than ideal living situation.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people that need medical treatment, and the hospital either doesn't treat them at all or treats them once and then sends them out back here to the street. So there's some injured people who could use real medical care. And I mean, some of them need, like, if they have a leg or a wound that needs healing and they need a week in the hospital to kick back, that's what they need, you know, to heal. And they're not getting it. They're getting treated and streeted.
Nicely put, or perhaps nastily put, but perhaps truly put.
Truly put.
I'll leave it there unless something you want to add.
No, I'll think about it, I guess. Windy, isn't it? I think it's the winds of change blowing in.
And let's take a break from the wind and from the folks in the wind and listen to a little music.
I was feeling kind of hungry, so I thought I'd buy some bread. I went into the corner grocery store. I took out the usual money, but the grocer shook his head, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Oh, a dollar bill don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to. A dollar bill don't buy what it used to, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Now I live in a rooming house, my room is awful small. As a matter of fact, it's only two before. Then the landlord raised my rent, and now I'm living in the wall, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Oh, a dollar bill don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to. A dollar bill don't buy what it used to, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Here's a lesson in arithmetic, now one and one makes two, and it is true that two and two makes four. But when the prices get higher, why, arithmetic's a liar, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Oh, a dollar bill don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to. A dollar bill don't buy what it used to, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. From the tree that grows in Brooklyn to the Gulf of Mexico, from Florida out to the western shore, we'll grab reaction by the collar, fight with PAC, we'll holler, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Oh, a dollar bill don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to. A dollar bill don't buy what it used to, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. So if you want to learn a lesson, if you really want to see, if you want to solve your problems by the score, fight your economic battles with the good old PAC, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. Oh, a dollar bill don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to, don't buy what it used to. A dollar bill don't buy what it used to, 'cause a dollar ain't a dollar anymore.
A dollar ain't a dollar anymore. 1946 recording from the Union Boys, who were Tom Glaser, Bert Ives, Alan Lomax, Walter Brownie McGee, Pete Seeger, Sonny Terry, and Josh White. A few of the names are familiar, particularly Pete Seeger, but maybe Burl Ives. A couple of the phrases in there had to do with the CIO. That's the Congress of Industrial Organizations. A once powerful labor union, and labor unions, of course, have gotten pretty either weak or corrupt. And it looks like the wildcat strikers, like the folks up at the university, have to carry it on from here. Anyway, back to the tent city in front of, or I should say, the tent township, the tent teeny tiny village at the post office.
To the revolution.
Yeah, to the revolution.
There is such a thing. We've been talking with...
This is Cooper.
Thanks, Cooper. Thanks, Russell.
Thank you.
So I'm talking with Alicia Cole here at the soon-to-be the Funa Bombs meal. Alicia, you say that you've been on the scanner all day.
Yeah, I was just listening, and I heard that a tree fell on someone on Golf Club Drive area.
No clue yet as to either confirmation or who it was?
Nope.
Any other exciting tidbits from Scanner Watch?
No, that's it. Just a bunch of chaos and fallen trees and blowing roofs off all day.
Exciting reports from over the hill at your new job?
No reports.
I don't know. Thrilling adventures in your own mind with the new book you're about to write?
No.
Can I have a tea cake?
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you, Alicia. You're still receiving reports of doo-doo from the outside if people want to call you?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you suggest they call that number that Fox has given out, the 221 number?
I have no idea what number Fox is giving out. My number is 831-431-7766.
She's supposed to be compiling people's reports. That's what she's decided to do. She agreed to do that at the Huff meeting, thinking that would take some of the burden off of you and Keith.
All right, cool.
Keep up the good work and keep that scammering.
I will do that.
Not scamming, as some people have suggested.
Ridiculous.
And we've been talking with
Alicia Cool.
Thank you. Here.
A guy has recently had his backpack stolen, including a laptop, various other items. Got back the laptop, but not the other items when he filed the police report.
Well, I didn't get back the laptop. I only got back my backpack.
Right, as I said, he got back the backpack, but not the other items. No. Sorry, my mistake. And he did... he realized, from your perspective, the guy is not all there up top. Has mental issues, but still, that's not a reason to keep your property. You also have just gotten... You were arrested, and how long did you spend in jail?
Just 5 hours or so, but...
And the reason they told you they were arresting you was what?
Obstructing a peace officer, but I had literally just woken up and was just trying to pack up my stuff and start my day.
And where was this?
Near Tabby Cat Cafe, over there by the parking garage.
At what time?
Around 11 in the morning.
And what what day was it, you remember?
I think it was a Saturday.
So you have a misdemeanor citation for obstructing an officer?
I have a court case coming up next month.
You have a court date?
Yeah.
You want to say what it is?
It's just for obstructing a peace officer.
No, I mean the date.
I think it's the 20th of next month.
When if you go there, they'll probably give you a public defender if they actually, you know, continue with the charge, which they might not. And they'll ask you to plead guilty, not guilty, or no contest. You may decide, you sound like you're sick of the whole shit. But if you plead not guilty, let me know the next time I talk to you, because I'd like to keep an eye on the case.
Yeah, well, all I see is they just got me on record, because I've not done anything ever criminal before, so I'm not really on any county's record for any form of crime. So I see it as their way of just putting me on record because I'm a transient. So I guess if you're a transient and you're a good person overall that hasn't committed crimes, you're still going to be put in jail because they just want you on record.
It's a pretty cynical perspective, but I think it's also got some truth to it. And we've been
you only have free rights as far as the peace officer in the current situation allows you to have your rights.
It's called the police state. We've been talking with, if you want to say.
Jeremiah Maxey.
Thanks, Jeremiah. You mentioned that the theft to you involved a sum of about $2,000 in merchandise.
Yeah.
In spite of your reporting it to the police, giving the police the person's address and name.
Well, the guy came forth, admitted he stole my stuff because he had my backpack and nothing else. He came forth, admitted, I called the cops took him in, and he even admitted to the cops that he had stolen my stuff. And I had reported that I have a laptop, solar panel, art tablet, all this stuff that he had stolen, which was a felony if caught, and he still walks around to this day. And all I can take it is that since he has some mental issues, that he was given some sort of slack for the crimes that he committed against me.
That's what the police told you?
That's how I'm taking it. The police, as far as I'm concerned, when I reported the thing, the police said that the Metro didn't have footage, so the whole time the police didn't even care about my case to begin with. I myself did most of the policing to make it even come to this point. So as far as I can see, the police still don't care about my case as it is.
I suspect you're right. When did the event happen?
Like more than a month ago, I would say.
And do we know the name of the offending person, or do you want to say it?
I don't really want to say his name, but...
Your sympathy because of his condition?
Just know he walks around trying to sell roller skates, and he just asks you guys for money all the time. And he's basically buying drugs and living the life of somebody that's mentally ill and abusing a lady that he stays at, too. So He's just the guy that walks around asking you guys for money for random stuff, and his teeth are rotten out, and he almost looks like Voldemort. That's all you have to know.
And again, we've been talking with
Jeremiah.
Thanks, Jeremiah.
Yeah. And kind of just off the cuff here, the Sentinel today on Thursday had a couple of interesting articles. UCSC students tangle with police, or should I say, police, as the UCSC students describe it, brutalize strikers who are trying to get the administration to come to the negotiating table, and they're refusing. And so in response, they're doing a blockage. They're blocking a road. And that is not interfering with emergency vehicles, as far as I know, or anything that's serious, except that it is, of course, stopping business as usual, or should we say, creating some media around the issue of the refusal of the administration to address the COLA issue, the cost of living allowance issue that the graduate students are trying to get into. We're going to be hearing more about that. That's on the front page. Also on the front page, there's a threat to go after the election process in Santa Cruz, where essentially a conservative, I think it's conservative, activists, a nonprofit group, California, let's see, what is it called? The, looking at it, California Voting Rights Project wants the city council elected by district rather than at large, which will, of course, diminish the student impact. That's something that I've seen pushed before unsuccessfully. And with the gentrification, however, and the increasing financing of the right-wing movement in Santa Cruz, as shown by the anti-rent control movement from out-of-town real estate money, and in-town reactionary activists, or at least, should we say, anti-tenant activists on this issue, or maybe pro-landlord, what you'd call them. That's a powerful force that's coming, you know, that the community has to confront. It really shows the division in the community. I put a placard on my car today about supporting the recall, and I think there was a phrase in the placard that talked about, I don't know, restoring mellowness or civility in the community. And I changed the wording of that to say what the recall opponents really need to do is to get people to acknowledge the real division in the community. You're not going to paper over the divisions or mellow out the divisions in the community or suggest that, oh, it's just these recall people are trying to be divisive. The recall people want to retain power. They are a division in the community. They are a section of the community that has held power for decades, and they want to keep power. And that's what it's about. And it's been a fight for the last year at the city council level. And trying to pretend that that kind of fight doesn't happen and that really see, maybe council members Glover and Crone have been a little too rough-edged. And they have, you know, they've spoken too coarsely about things. They've been mean to the staff. Actually, what they've been dealing with is very specific series of obstructive actions by the city manager, the mayor, and various staff members, and misinformation from the staff as well as arguably politically motivated behavior that defies the, I can't find the proper words to describe what the chair and the vice chair of the city's Commissioner for the Prevention of Violence Against Women was guilty of when it had a sneak agenda item that raked Drew Glover over the coals in an item not really within the purview of the Women's Commission, but intended to discredit them. And again, I don't know if we're talking about both of them or just one of them. Definitely about Glover. And then when the rest of the commission tried to get that reversed, the chair and the vice chair resigned so the commission could not meet. Now, I don't know, you can say, well, maybe that was just a secondary, unintended consequence, you know. I don't think so. On the positive side, in the paper, we have the rape kit test backlog cleared in the Bay Area. San Francisco Bay Area County has cleared its backlog of rape test kits and expedited the time that it takes to process them, officials said. The 269 untested sexual assault evidence kits collected from victims, suspects, or both following a reported crime that had been sitting in the county crime lab since May of 2018 have all been examined, said the Santa Clara County DA's office in a report presented Tuesday to their Board of Supervisors over the Hill. The office also said that as of the end of 2019, the process period for kit examination in the county is 16 days, down from an average of 94 days in 2018, and ahead of the 30-day completion goal the county had set for its crime lab, the Mercury News reported. There is no other place in the country that's testing kits even close to that rate. And, of course, my question was 10 years ago on this show, Jillian Greenside on, who's an activist on this issue, talking about how pathetic and pitiable and really abusive, these are my words, not hers, the Santa Cruz Police Department was in this regard. And as of 6 months ago, the police department and other county agencies here in Santa Cruz County were still not doing rape kit testing. Here, they sent them over the hill to San Jose. And Mills, the police chief, has claimed that all their rape kits have been tested. But what I found when we were talking to a woman who claimed she'd been raped, that she didn't want to bother to go to do all this rigmarole. She'd have to go all the way to San Jose to get tested. And it was just something on top of the trauma of the assault she didn't want to deal with. I think I've also heard that Mills or the sheriff's department is trying to restore rape kit testing over, or at least taking in the rape kits here in Santa Cruz. You don't have to go over the hill to do it. I don't have any information on that right now, and I'm kind of vaguely remembering a claim to that effect. The same paper, today's paper, the Mercury, I should say, not the Mercury News, the Santa Cruz Urinal, or as they call themselves, the Sentinel. Santa Cruz police may respond to shooting uptick with new technology. That's the latest PR way of fright headlining Mills' attempt to get license plate reading cameras past the city council. And of course, the next step is facial recognition software. And in the meantime, we have cameras at various spots in Santa Cruz, which the police department is lying about, or did lie to me in a Public Records Act request about, or whoever responded to my Public Records Act request about a year ago to please give me the location of all surveillance cameras not currently being used in crime investigation, particular crime investigations, but that are just regularly surveilling the public in public places, so that when you walk into a certain area, you should know you're being under observation, such as at the city council area or at the police station. But this police department claimed they had zero such cameras available or had access to zero such cameras. And I'm not sure if I phrased that question in that final way, because people who are doing private footage, merchants and so forth, can make such cameras available. But in any case, they said there was zero city-funded cameras, as they had no specific information about retention schedules for video, because there was no video, which it just strikes me as a bald-faced lie, because the little globes that you see around City Hall and the indoors in the police station, which has a little sign, "Don't you dare audio or video us," but they feel quite okay videoing you, and of course, you should ignore that sign. Walk into the police station, I do, with my audio device, and I turn it right on and let them know I'm videoing and audioing if I have some reason to do so. And actually went there today, and I was treated very courteously. By the way, I want to thank the property department and the front desk, and even Sergeant Jones, who partially fulfilled his commitment to return an audio device, which I negligently left at City Council on Tuesday night. He said he would be contacting me about it the next day before before 5 o'clock by email and took great care to take my email, but then he's never done that. But who knows? Maybe he's on sick or didn't understand or whatever. But in any case, I got the recorder back today and it was treated courteously. But I recommend, there's a little sign I again noticed there, that if you are in the police department, they will say, warning, do not video or audio us. Well, you know, some officers will tell you the same thing when you're videoing or audioing them and out on the streets. Oh, you can't do that. Uh-huh. Well, you see. Thank you, officer. Go about your business. I'm going about mine. And so it's really important not to be bullied or bluffed by people who are in these insulated, buffered, and highly abusive positions of power. It's not because they're individually abusive human beings, as I endlessly repeat, but because the power puts them in a situation where their abuses are not held to account and where they're not transparently accessible to the public, so they become more abusive. Or as Lord Acton put it in the famous little cliche, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I would say to that, absolutely. This story might interest you if you check it out. It's in the, I guess it's page 3. I'm not going to go into the details now, but Mills was pushing in a Beach Flats meeting for license plate readers to deal with the uptick in shootings. I'm not quite sure how this would really help a lot. But there was a response from Reyna Ruiz, who's described as a community organizer and parent, that when law enforcement talks about criminals, they're sometimes referring to her neighbors and local youth. And it's mental health, housing, getting at the root cause, and we have over-policing instead, criminalizing youth, and now serious concerns about this new technology. This is, again, part of Mills' police state push, which we've talked about before, is 7-point control, repress, and essentially criminalize the homeless without, of course, seeming to do so. So you don't say, oh, you can't sleep. You just say, well, you can't be in a park after dark. And, well, we'll still give you tickets wherever you are unless you move along, even if you're in, and if you have a tent up during the day, that'll be a crime. And in other words, you create a variety of, well, you don't have to create them. Already those conditions are being used by the police. And so his 7-point plan, which involves a number of additional codifications of increased police power, are just sort of icing on the cake. In a way, they're a distraction. Instead of letting us focus on what the police are currently doing, which he's not talking about, using public nuisance, blocking the sidewalk, obstructing an officer, being in a park after dark, being in a closed area, illegal lodging as the basis for essentially enforcing a no sleeping law, a no camping law that they are not allowed to enforce because there are inadequate shelter in Santa Cruz and people haven't got any real choice. So they're criminalizing people's status. Anyway, these laws are used and we aren't being told they're being used that way. In fact, these issues are really being misrepresented before groups like the Public Safety Committee, which I believe actually has a hearing coming up, and maybe I'll be talking about that. In fact, I'll take a quick look now to see when that is. Not able to find it on the city council agendas or the city government agendas. The last meeting was on the 23rd. Let's see if we can get Drew Glover on the line here. He's the chair of the Public Safety Committee. Maybe he can advise us as to what's coming down the pike there as to whether they're going to be looking into police misbehavior and mischaracterization of what they're doing. He often answers the phone and responds, but he often doesn't. So it's going to have to wait and see what we got here. And it looks like he's out for the afternoon.
Hi, you've reached Drew Glover, Executive Director of Project Pollinate. I'm unfortunately unable to turn to my phone right now, but please leave me your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks so much, and remember, pollinate your mind.
At the tone.
And so you can leave message. You can leave a message at City Council 420-5020 if you want to reach him. Hey Drew, it's Robert Norris calling and wondering when the next Public Safety Committee meeting is. I'm having trouble finding it on the public safety meeting agendas online. I see the public safety meeting for January with the audio as mentioned. I haven't checked to see how audible it is. Hopefully it is, unlike the last one. But maybe you can let me know what's going on. I hope to put this out, and I'm putting this out for the netcast today. But perhaps on Sunday we can have more information what's coming up at the next meeting. And also a concern that some of us have here, which you're well aware of, but I haven't seen too much action on it recently, of pulling the city attorney's secret analysis of data that you asked for as far back as a year ago in the city council around the issues of enforcement of 18 laws and how they impact poor and homeless people outside. The information, the data came out, but not the analysis. And also, we see the police continuing to use a variety of workarounds around the Martin versus Boise decision, which are abusive. I want to see this scheduled on a public safety committee meeting, if you can, perhaps the next one. Please let me know if that's going to be happening, and maybe we can get some people in there to testify around that issue. Thanks a lot. I'm at 423-4833. So we'll see if we get any response from that. While we're waiting, let's listen to a little music.
Cities, mid the roar of whirling wheels, we are toiling on like chattel slaves of old. And our masters hope to keep us ever thus beneath their heels, and to coin our very lifeblood into gold. But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all, in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. They would keep us cowed and beaten, cringing meekly at their feet. They would stand between each worker and his bread. Shall we yield our lives up to them for the bitter crust we eat? Shall we only hope for heaven when we're dead? But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. They have laid our lives out for us to the utter end of time. Shall we stagger on beneath their heavy load? Shall we let them live forever in their gilded halls of crime with our children doomed to toil beneath their gold? But we have a glowing dream of the when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. When our cause is all triumphant and we claim our mother earth and the nightmare of the present fades away, we shall live with love and laughter, men who now are little worth, and we'll not regret the price we have to pay. But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be.
The commonwealth of toil, with Pete Seeger and another group that could well be the Almanac Singers or the group I mentioned that sang the previous number. But, well, it looks like Labor Day songs with folks striking up on campus. And we'll probably hear a few more of those. Back to the Food Not Bombs meal last Sunday with this interview.
So I just talked to a guy whose friend is actually makes his living on the streets to some extent by selling marijuana and not waiting for a license and a storefront.
Yeah.
And your friend, the guy who does this, he's told you that apparently, at least you've told me that
it's a failing gray area right now where people either have to succumb to illegally transporting from states that have less tax from another state, or they can deal with using the regular amount of what they can get in their local state, which actually has a higher tax rate. If you buy it under the table, it automatically drops the price by half, or sometimes by two-thirds of what it would actually cost out of a club at the same quality. And instead of paying $1,200 to $1,500, you're paying, you know, $530 to $420 a pound.
Now, has this changed, you think, in the last year or two?
Oh, definitely. Thank you for legalizing it, because it wouldn't have been this if they kept making it illegal, then you wouldn't have been able to do anything with it, because it would have been too expensive, and all of the people would have been saving it for themselves that could still grow it. But now that it's a huge corporate motivation for people to make money, it's easier to get your hands on, and it's easier to go through the mail systems.
What about in Santa Cruz?
Oh, it's definitely a lot easier here. I've heard in other places they have this one place called the Green Mile, which is actually more pot clubs in one square mile than the entire McDonald's and Starbucks that they have in the entire state of Oregon.
But not here in Santa Cruz County.
Not here in Santa Cruz. I mean, but they're really planning on it. They're going to drop the taxes from 14% to 11%. So I've heard, anyways.
And this friend of yours who's the marijuana dealer, was he dealing beforehand? Does he have kind of before and after comparison?
No, he wasn't. He was living off food stamps and had a miserable life until he realized that there were hungry people out there that didn't know what to do with their weed after they legalized it. And they would equally trade food stamps for an equal amount of weed. And that's when...
Why didn't you turn this man into the police immediately?
Because everyone needs to make a living and survive somehow. And some people do it in different ways. And as long as they're doing it, then I say, keep on doing it.
Okay, good. Now, you're a regular Food Not Bombs worker here, and you've been doing this for quite a while. You may notice that the Union of the Homeless sometimes has their meetings here on Sunday, 5 to 6.
Yes, they do. Every now and then. It seems a little too windy today to set the table up and have any literature out, but we've put the table up and put some chairs up, and it's even too windy for the signs today, so I don't even know if we're going to tie the banner down or anything.
Now, have you found that the sometimes raucous quality of those meetings, particularly this one character, Norse, who shows up, has that disturbed any of the personnel here or upset any of the...
That guy, Robert Norse? I don't see him upsetting anyone. I always found him to be a very... very peaceful person that was willing to talk to anyone, much like that guy who gave the dude some fish and cured him of his disease of selfishness or need. For
it's like a fishy story to me.
Yeah, that fishy giving story where everybody gets everybody feels better just from a chat and a look in the eye. So thank you. I needed that. I'll be handing out the loan.
I'm not paying him for this, folks. I guess the real question I have is, I've heard some people tell me that it was upsetting. They were concerned it was upsetting last week when I was... Keith and I were kind of going at it hot and heavy. I don't know if you noticed. I mean, you were probably at another point than...
No, I might have been around for that. I might have not. I can't quite remember. You know, the way people are treated and the way people aren't treated isn't up to us. It's up to the people that are trying to treat us that way.
I'll have to work on that one.
We just have to argue against it, and we have to keep arguing against it, and that's all we have left.
Well, I will.
Okay, looks like the food's here.
I'm going to leave you to your foodish work.
Okay.
You foodish fellow.
Yeah.
We've been talking with, if you want
to
see.
Oh, this is that guy that knows that other guy.
The guy who knows the... Okay.
Yeah, from that story.
Keep an eye on both you guys. Thank you.
And that was me checking out some concerns I heard from at least one individual about. I sometimes get rather intense and sharp in my and raise my voice in some of these meetings, and I'm wondering how it impacted other people. And I just was looking for a little reassurance, actually, and I guess I got it, but there are probably some people who felt another way. But anyway, the Union of the Homeless does still announce that it's holding meetings every Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Food Not Bombs corner, or the post office corner, if you will. And it's open to anybody who wants to be involved in those meetings. You can join up the union, too. I think they got some very minimal union dues, in $1 a month or something, depending on your ability to pay. I think it's more if you can pay a little more. But the idea is to support the kinds of organizing, protest actions. I guess, I'm not sure, we don't really quite know. We don't have much in the way of union treasury right now. I'm a member of the group. I'm a little concerned that we don't have enough people really to do much. Most of the people who are the main leaders in the union movement are just completely overburdened. I mean, Alicia Cole is working over the hill. Keith McHenry is struggling with Food Not Bombs, which he does, you know, Herculean job on. And so it's difficult. But the union is, you know, it's still holding forums every Wednesday. The next forum is going to be 4 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I think it has something to do with legal tactics for dealing with police abuse or court problems or criminalization actions by our dear police chief. I'm not sure. And I've been a bit critical that, you know, these forums are often not well prepared for. The last forum, for example, which you'll be able to hear, it's going to be posted, the audio of it. We had one yesterday. It was, I think it was promising to be, you know, we hoped at least the same size as the previous one, which was a dozen or more people. And we had activist Carol Denny down from Berkeley talking and giving a demonstration of talking about what's happening up there with the folks facing criminalization laws like we are. But we had only a few. We had about half a dozen folks because in part of the strike. That might have been one reason. And also we had to move it to another place and another time to do it. It was at the Sub Rosa yesterday. So maybe things will get back. We'll get more folks on next Wednesday at 4 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And we'll be, I guess, talking about that, or some people will be. I'm not sure if I'll be there or not, but the union is scheduled to meet at 5 o'clock at the town, across from the town clock at the post office. You might want to check it out. And here's some bits from the Red Church meal on Monday, where I habitually step in and step up to folks in the food line and ask them what's shaken. And here's what they had to say.
Raining and tarps and a way to stay warm when it's raining and tarps and blankets enough to stay warm.
That's a good idea.
Warm bedding.
You yourself are outside?
Yes. Warm food. Warm food to eat. A bedding. A place to lay down and sleep and get a good night's sleep.
Were you outside last night?
Yeah.
And any problems with police or rangers?
No. I slept in front of the courthouse.
Really? Illegally, I might say.
No, I just chose to sleep there only. It was a choice to sleep there.
Right on.
And I got a full night's sleep. All night I got to rest there without.
I mean, you get another full night's sleep tonight.
Yes, I saw the police today, and then they told me, I talked to them, and I told them I'm resting, and then I got all the rest that I needed, and now, and after I have my smoke, I'm gonna leave.
Two crimes, sleeping and smoking.
I said, I'm gonna leave after I have my smoke. They said, okay, good. Have a good day. I said, you too.
City police or sheriff's deputies?
Sheriff's deputies.
And your name is, if you wish to say?
Devin John Rule.
Thank you, sir.
They were very good servants. When they were saying that, I was they were happy with what I was doing. I was doing what I should be doing. I have the right to smoke a cigarette, and I did get rest, and I did rest. And after I felt like I could had enough strength to go on and go somewhere, I did.
Thank you, Devin.
Crystal Olsen.
You were telling me that you're doing well on the sociology scores, but anything new on what's going on in the homeless side of things?
Well, not really, but I just my second week in the class, and I have been talking to a few people that are willing to maybe go with me to be a speaker.
In your sociology class.
And my sociology class, and also my human service class. I have a drug and alcohol class that I'm taking, and also a groups therapy class. And ethics and sociology 1, because it goes along with being a drug counselor, and sociology 33.
So what are your thoughts? We've heard rumors of the idea of starting a second Camp Desiree or Camp Quintero, Phoenix Camp. Where is it at the current time?
You know, right now, I've really been just trying to get into my own life and get stuff lined up and on track. I haven't really kept track right now. I wish they'd put it back at where it was, because I have two friends yesterday that got hit by a tree because of the winds.
Well, you may have seen Brent Adams' picture of the big tree that fell into the Ross Camp area.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Although nobody was there, so nobody got hit. But, trees will fall where they will fall, and that happens.
Oh, I never saw that. Yeah, no, well, I know that there needs to be somewhere safe for some people, because I know that it's like domino effect right now with trees falling in the Poconos. So, it doesn't always happen that same day. It always happens later, you know.
And, in fact, there were two trees that fell into the Ross Camp area, which is vacant now. Although, as I said earlier in the show, there are tents arising along the area between the Ross Camp fence and the freeway. So, as there were tents on the other side of River Street until they were swept away by the police, and then on the other side of Highway 1 next to the Homeless Lack of Services Center, now called Housing Mutters or Housing Mythologies or whatever, Housing Matters is how they call their group. And they, the tents there are, I guess there are a few tents coming back again. It's like they keep popping up because people, you know, until you, depopulate them entirely one way or another, they keep coming back. And I'm afraid that may be the eventual conclusion of the authorities, spoken or unspoken. Hence, you have death squads in places like Brazil that run around. They used to run around killing homeless kids. This was some years ago. I was reading such things. And as the fascistization process takes hold and people are convinced that the homeless people outside are either medical problems, they have to be locked up in institutions and medicated, or behavior problems, they have to be put into disciplinary camps like the National Socialists did in Germany in the 30s. You have this rather nasty and frightening kind of situation happening. And it's not just paranoia and alarmism. It's a gradual creeping process that we have to stop. And I don't know the way, except to keep talking about it, keep resisting it when we can, and standing up for our rights as much as we can and supporting those who do. We're talking to Crystal as a member of the Union of the Homeless. She's one of those people who's overburdened. She's trying to do school at the same time. She's living in Paige Smith Community House or the Pauley Loft, one of the two. And you'll hear her talking about that, I believe, shortly.
It always happens when the ground is soft and the wind blows and they're over.
Any reports from the Pauley Loft?
Well, the bug situation, they did come in and try to heat treat my room, but I was in the process of moving into another room anyway, so...
Why would they do that?
Well, they moved me into another room because my boyfriend is able to come in and move in with me. So
Pauley or in the Paige Smith?
No, this is Paige Smith. Right. The Pauley Loft, I don't know anything about.
Now, what about there's some concern about some kind of a mite problem, bug problem at the Pauly Love.
Oh, the bed bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a given, dude.
That's a long-standing problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got to give one credit. You know, they did try, but you know what? In the meantime, I was getting eaten alive. You know what I mean? Put me on a list while I'm getting eaten alive tonight, and tomorrow night, and the next night, and last night, and the night before, you know? So I think the way that they're doing it is wrong, but they are trying.
How are they trying?
Just by heat treating the room, but they're trying the wrong way.
You think you're talking about Paige Smith, but not Paul.
No, the Pauly Loft, I don't, like I said, know anything about.
Paige Smith was also having the same problem.
Oh, bad. Absolutely infestation in my house. I have videos.
You were sure? I think I've seen some of those pictures.
Maybe you've seen a picture or two, but I got some even major more video than that that are way worse. That could get them in big trouble.
And we've been talking with
Crystal Olson.
Thanks, Crystal.
Welcome.
From the street.
You know, I do. But it's very negative. Let me get that together for you a little bit. It's about those monkey rangers and police, as they call them.
There have been some recent incidents?
They've been major assholes, like the Coop and those guys. They were foul. You know, now she's over there with a little rougher group, not just the sick people. And, you know, they were so quiet where they were at and calm that nobody really fought back. They were, except Cooper, and they'd kind of get scared, and they'd, you know, everybody take off and leave Coop and Russ there to face it all. And now she's over there with a little bit of a tougher crowd. And so she's still, both her and Russ are, They're culture heroes, and they're really, I mean, they're both really good leaders. Thank you. All right.
We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez.
Thanks, Ricardo. Love you. The Doorside drummer. What's your name, sir?
Doorside drummer.
Who are you, anyway?
Meriwether Mike, a.k.a. Open Mike, Flower Mike, or Open Mike.
I notice fewer people here than in the past. Beginning of the month, is that your analysis?
Yeah, that tends to be one of the trendsetters. Of course, it just depends on the beat on the street, and I'd say half the people here are first-timers. It's amazing. Meditation went well. Everybody shut up for 10 minutes, and I'm sure we're all the better for it.
And there was an MH Can presentation?
Yes. Yes.
About that.
Shadow Speakers got it done. Steve-O, how many can you spare?
I'll get you a bag full.
Just a few. Not too many. Okay. Right. So, Lee Wilson, everybody. Big hand. Gospel's back in the land. There's help for gospel at the dinner. Lee Wilson.
And that Lee has just arrived with his guitar. But let's not forget the MH Can. What happened there with him?
Oh, just a great message for hope for all. You know, it's a place that, you know, the best of the worst can get better somewhat, they say.
You mean there's hope for the city council?
Well, you know, city council is involved somewhat. It's a bit extended story, but long story short, they cut it back to what we call the Nifty 50. It used to be just whoever showed up whenever, but now it's sort of a...
You're talking about the restrictions on the MH Can's clientele.
An MH Can, for those who don't know, is the mental health clients program, which is run by, to some extent, clients themselves, though I think they have a rather subservient board of directors, subservient, unfortunately, to city bureaucrats. But nonetheless, they've got, I guess, Sarah Leonard is the director who's, I haven't talked to her for quite a while, but the kind of quality of community that goes on there is a far, far higher order than the kind of normal institutional crap you get with other mental health services where you're, although they try not to, you're looked down upon, treated as a medical problem, drugged up, and sent on your way. MH Can has been under attack for years by propertied interests in the area, the police force, and to some extent sold out by people thinking perhaps they're operating in the best interest of MH Can, like former MH Can, I don't know if he's executive director or chair of the board, I guess, Steve Plaich, when he was, until he was ousted from MH Can. He's never talked about that, in spite of having been asked about it several times. I'm always a little wary of asking Steve about these questions, because I like Steve, personally, and it's a problem that I don't want to jeopardize. Well, I think I already have. He's been sort of ignoring me the last few months. And, well. But in any case, here's more from Meriwether Mike.
Yeah, that wasn't the city council. I think that was the administration. City, that was the city government, but not the council itself.
Well, right. It's some of the finer details.
Also, Steve Plaich, who was the head, the director of MH Can, who agreed to that shit.
Well, you know, you never know the whole story, and yet you got to figure sooner or later you find out you can only do what you can do for you.
Or you can do what you do do, and sometimes you do do best.
Just don't do the do do where you don't do, where they don't want you to do, or something. I don't know.
Indeed.
Here comes the care pack. Here comes the didn't make it to the dinner rescue pack.
Now, is that a bunch of brownies you're eating there?
Yeah, that's to that.
That's hardly nutritious, Mr. Mike.
It's to that motley crew downtown that didn't get to make it because they're keeping the magic alive down there.
Oh, good for you. And good for Steve Plaich, who actually just delivered those brownies to you.
Yes, he tends to hit them up, me or Cooper, you know, Camp Cooper. And you can't say enough for our dear Cooper and... I guess I'll say that's enough.
If he redo his sellout of MH Can, I'd be so much happier.
Have you checked in with the Cooper and Camp Cooper?
Yesterday, the day before, I think.
Okay. Be sure and get a weekly update. There's lots of love happening there.
Anything you know of at the moment?
Boy, howdy. You know, I saw her, but she left early, so that can be only good news, but I don't know why.
Show off.
That was cute.
Stop the calls. We have a winner.
I think he was introducing Robert. Go ahead. You meant to say Robert. And now may I present.
I don't know.
That's right.
Okay, everybody, announcement, folks. This is one you probably have seen. You didn't get this flyer and you want it, I'll pass it around to you. Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs gave these to me to pass out. It announces an event happening on Wednesday. There is, you know, a shitty council meeting tomorrow, to use my phrases. It begins at 12:30 and goes until God knows when. But you can't really talk about anything except what's on their agenda. And, of course, survival camps, the rights of people with respect to the police, services are not on their agenda, except Brent Adams is, for a very small amount of money, he's going to be getting some help for his storage program if they vote for it. And that's in the afternoon. Unfortunately, I can't tell you at what point in the afternoon it is.
And it was, I think, the last item on the agenda, which I think I'll be playing more about, because it went on and on. They delayed and delayed and diddled and disputed. And essentially, as one person described it, raked Brent Adams over the coals. Now, I do my own raking when I have him on the show. Pretty mellow raking on my part. I mean, we disagree, and, you know, that's fine. But he's been providing services the city is not, which everybody knows, with its storage or blankets or a warming center on nights when there's overflow from or people trying to get in off the streets. And there have been, as you've heard, turned away from the armory forever because of, oh, I don't know, they smoked at the wrong time or they were up at the wrong time or they came back at the wrong time or they stayed out an extra night, whatever the excuse or the pretext is that they banned some people for. And no doubt there were some legitimate problems that came up that required some kind of action. But in any case, Adams has been providing services, laundry. He's increased his service to have, I guess, one day of laundry, christened his stuff Footbridge Services. You can get more information by giving him a call, 588-9892, or learn whether the warming center is open at 246-1234. say I'll probably be playing some of that discussion or enunciation of him on Sunday when I come back for the longer show.
So you have to come and sit it out, which may require, you know, calloused butts to do that. In the evening, there is only one item on their agenda, which is oral communications. That's their very generous time when they give you two, count them, 2 minutes to talk to them, even though they have all evening, because there's nothing else on their agenda. But that is, in fact, an option you have at 7 o'clock. I don't think any food is going to be served there. Food Not Bomb sometimes does serve food, but I'm not aware they're going to be doing that tomorrow. Keith has been up on campus. On the other side of this flyer is information about a big student strike that's happening up there. So I'm going to pass on this flyer to anybody who wants it, and I'll be leaving some at the center table. I'll give you one in a moment, Crystal.
Yeah, I want a couple because I think I'm just cool.
I'll get some to you.
Thank you.
Right on. The other event is this Dignity Not Doorways event. Food will be served at this. This is Wednesday, day after tomorrow. It's not the Resource Center. It usually is there, but it's at the Sub Rosa again. Sub Rosa Cafe, which is right next to the Bike Church. You go there, you get food, and you also get chatter and discussion of how to resist police abuses in your campsite or to help other people resist those kinds of things. And that is going to be described more fully in this flyer. Plus, if you come a couple hours early, you can drink coffee with me and the gang at the Huff meeting, which is at noon at the Sub Rosa. If you like coffee and chatter, that's what we do there. We huff and puff. Yeah, that's it. So I will be passing out. Raise your hand if you want one of these flyers. I'll give it to you, and I'll wander around. And now I'll let the folks actually play some music. That'll be good.
Amen.
Later.
Yeah, if I can get a couple of them from you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They stay warm when it's raining.
Game modus operandi's